Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the controversy surrounding the proposed Muslim community center near the World Trade Center turns out to be not just a Manhattan debate or a Ground Zero debate. It's become a national high-profile battle. You know about Sarah Palin and Newt Gingrich and people like that weighing in. But meanwhile, smaller and quieter controversies have sprung up in other neighborhoods around New York City and around the country. There are about 100 mosques in New York City already, and nearly 2,000 nationwide. And many of them are, you know, little storefronts and poor communities, things like that. But there is fierce opposition to two recently proposed mosques elsewhere in New York, one in Sheepshead Bay and the other in Midland Beach on Staten Island. So here to talk about local contention over planned mosques and resistance to Muslim centers not near Ground Zero is Sumati Reddy, reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Greater New York section. Sumati, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us first about the proposed mosque in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's one that's been around for, I think, probably a little bit over a year. And originally it was proposed as a multi-level structure, but it was really, I think the building department had some issues with that, and so then they had to go back and redraw their plans. And the residents there are pretty much, they initially focused their arguments against it on the kind of typical things like traffic and property values. But then they quickly started also talking about their fears that the Muslim American Society, which is building this, is linked to this larger global alliance called the Muslim Brotherhood, which has some, is considered an extremist organization, and that kind of fueled the opposition and got people really riled up and opposed to this.
And what do those wanting to build the mosque say to that charge?
They are, they basically call it discrimination and say that they have no links to the Muslim Brotherhood or any foreign groups or funding. That's something that's been questioned by some of the experts that I've talked to for my story. So,
and how about the Staten Island situation?
That's more recent, and that is actually, in that case, and I feel like in that case the opposition was a lot stronger. I mean, there was a meeting that just kind of ended abruptly because people were just so heated up about it, and particularly because it was a convent, and people who went to that church and supported it were very offended that the pastor had come up with this deal and hadn't told anyone. But in the end, the trustee board of the church opposed, voted against the transaction, and so now they're back to square one, looking for another site on Long Island for a population they say is growing quite, it's gotten quite large.
So former residents of the convent didn't like that it was going from a Catholic location to a Muslim location at all. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, the convent wasn't even used. I mean, a lot of them brought up the argument that their relatives had given money to the church for the convent and had supported it over the years, so they kind of felt like they should have a stake in what it was going to become.
There was an article in the New York Times yesterday by Lori Goldstein that said this isn't only controversial in New York. There are debates over proposed mosques in Tennessee, California, Wisconsin, other areas around the country. And many of the local opponents, both here in the New York neighborhoods and elsewhere in the U.S., say it's about parking and traffic, your usual neighborhood issues. But then there are those who come right out and say the problem is Islam itself and the fear of ties to terrorism and radical politics. What's your sense of the larger issue here? What's really going on here? How much of this is just not wanting official Islam in anybody's backyard?
I think that's obviously a difficult question, and it obviously varies from resident to resident. But I do know, like, for example, in the Sheepshead Bay issue, the residents did not, I mean, they were really kind of sensitive about how they were going to be portrayed. They didn't want to be portrayed as anti-Muslim or discriminatory because they'd been in some other papers and they thought they were portrayed that way. But there is, and so they couch their arguments with traffic and property values. But I do think now that you have, national politicians kind of like with the Ground Zero example coming out and saying, we don't want we don't want a mosque down here. We think slap in the face of these victims. And you have 9/11 victims coming out and saying things. That's kind of emboldened people to say it without feeling like they're being, you know, they'll be portrayed a certain way.
It's funny because at the same time, and in that same issue of the New York Times yesterday, where there was this review of opposition to mosques just on the basis of them being mosques around the country, there was an article about Iranian expatriates, the Iranian diaspora, the exiles, right, who have absolutely no regard for Ahmadinejad and that form of radical Islamic governance, being invited back to Iran on, you know, this junket where the Iranians, the Iranian government was trying to, I guess, woo Iranian Americans into feeling more positively about them because they really have no truck with this government. Mm-hmm. And the Iranian Americans who were quoted, who went, they said, oh, I took the junket to go visit my relatives. Now I'm back. That government stinks. You know, in effect, is what they said. These are in almost all cases Muslims. Mm-hmm. And back in the United States and supporting the United States, certainly not supporting Iran. And where are they supposed to worship? And people at once will turn around and say, good for the, you know, good for the Iranian diaspora not supporting Ahmadinejad when living in this country. And then they'll turn around and if they want to build a place of worship, then suddenly that's a threat.
I mean, I do think there's a big difference between the Ground Zero situation and these other two centers, because, I mean, the Muslim American Society has, the several experts that I spoke with did raise red flags about kind of their ideology and the Anti-Defamation League. If you go to their website, they have like 5 pages of kind of examples of things that the Muslim American Society members or their websites have, you know, kind of linking them to kind of extremist ideologies. So I think there are, and I know the Ground Zero one is more considered more of a moderate organization. So I do think there's a big difference between the two.
Sumathi Reddy from the Wall Street Journal's Greater New York section, my guest on WNYC for another few minutes as we talk about mosque controversies other than at Ground Zero. So listeners, if you live in Sheepshead Bay or Midland Beach on Staten Island, what's your take? Is this a neighborhood issue? Is this problems over parking and space? Should this be decided by the community? Or are these localized debates part of a bigger picture of intolerance toward any kind of Islam, irrational fears based on the actions of a small group of radicals on 9/11 and in some other instances? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And, of course, you can comment on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Lisa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lisa.
Yeah, hi. I just think the issue of potential radicalization needs to be addressed. I just saw a headline on the Times that Germany closed the mosque that helped generate Ground Zero because it's a continued source of radicalization. We've seen what's gone on in the young men lured to Somalia and the Midwest.
But where do you go with this? Because if you say potential radicalization, sure, there's potential anything anywhere. But if, you know, an innocent group, as far as we know, of Muslims in some community want to build a house of worship where there's an established community of Muslim Americans living, just want to build a local place to worship, and now all of a sudden people are suspicious because there could be maybe someday potential radical. Is that enough to stop the building of a mosque?
These are some of the questions we have to answer, and they're not being addressed on the Ground Zero issue and some of the others. There's no question, by the way, that there are radical Muslim organizations involved in the financing of the Ground Zero project. And that should be addressed.
Well, my understanding is there is no financing of the Ground Zero mosque yet. They're about to launch, if they get approved, a big capital campaign, and that would be in public view.
The people behind it have contacts contacts with some very unpleasant organizations like the Perdana Foundation. These issues need to be addressed. I understand the problems, I think, but there are problems, and I think it's unfortunate to be using the whole whiny people about it being sacred ground. It's not. It's a business district. We have to accept that. But there are all kinds of other issues in this that are not being addressed because people are talking about things like parking and sacred ground. Those aren't the important things. You can be so tolerant that you destroy yourself. And we have to figure out how do we make the First Amendment rights and freedoms compatible with what is clearly going on. It isn't just potential. It has gone on.
Lisa, thank you for your call. Have you reported on the Ground Zero situation? Because I think what Lisa refers to with respect to proven ties to questionable organizations are certainly unproven as far as I know.
Yeah, that's not the case. I mean, I have not personally done reporting, but I've read a fair amount about it, and they have not raised any money. I think you're correct in saying that.
Daniel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Daniel.
Good morning. I just want to comment that it is an unfortunate moment that an action like this is viewed as racism. The American public has no other choice but to view a mosque as a center of violence, because the vast majority of Muslims who live in the United States, which are, I'm sure, law-abiding and peaceful citizens, are always keeping silent when there is an act of terror. So the American public has no choice but to equate a mosque and Islam and terror.
But Daniel, aren't you holding Muslims to a double standard? You know, if you listen to this show, that after any of these acts, like the Times Square bombing attempt recently, we open the phones and we can get calls all day from Muslim Americans who say, I denounce this. I denounce this wholeheartedly. This is a perversion of Islam if these people claim that they are done. And then you turn around. So on the one hand, you say, and a lot of people say, Muslims are silent in the face of these atrocities. And then when they call in and say, I denounce this, this is not the Islam I know, then maybe you and some others turn around and say, well, I don't believe them.
Well, it's not a question I don't believe them. These are individual voices. They're not voices coming from organizations. I have yet to see the Muslim cleric denounce terror in a mosque. I have yet to see a Muslim brotherhood, any kind of organization saying, let's mobilize against violence.
Then you're not looking. You're not looking. They're all over the place coming out. Say, how about the cleric Raouf, who is behind the proposed Ground Zero Cultural Center? He has been denouncing it full-throatedly since 9/12.
Well, maybe that voice gets drowned over the overwhelming majority of voices that are really silent. I mean, it's just not. We don't see too much an organized movement against violence. We don't see the Muslim community in this kind of, like Muslims Americans. For some reason, that name has not been coined. There's Chinese Americans, Jewish Americans, Cuban Americans. We are a very tolerant people, and yet we view them as something alien, and that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We should view them as Muslim Americans. We should view them as full-fledged Americans. And somehow this view is not coming to pass for some reason. There must be a lack of message or not enough of it.
Daniel, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Nancy in Basking Ridge. You're on WNYC. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, this is Nancy, and I'm in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. I'm an Iranian-American, born Muslim, and my children are born Muslim. We are not a religious family, but my children associate themselves as being born Muslim. All of these discussions in radio, TV, about associating Muslims and a broad brush of associating all of them with terrorism has made it so difficult for us to have a normal life, to raise our children. When I drive my kids to school, I have to turn off the radio. When we are watching news, I have to turn off the TV. So they just are not exposed to all these conversations. And the other gentleman just before me was talking about that he is not hearing Muslims as society, as a group, or as individuals condemning terrorism. I tell you that you don't want to hear them. When after 9/11, we all participated in my neighborhood to help the victims, to condemn these atrocities. Iranian Americans have had demonstrations after demonstrations in New York City condemning Ahmadinejad and condemning terrorism. You guys don't want to hear it, and you want to just close your ears and eyes and be comfortable with just grouping everybody in one lump sum and condemning everybody. That's your problem.
Nancy, thank you for your call. And we're out of time for this segment. Samathi Reddy from the Wall Street Journal's Greater New York section, except that I want to ask you that since opponents want to know where the financial backing is coming from in the Brooklyn case and the Staten Island case, as well as Ground Zero, what is the Muslim American society in the Brooklyn and Staten Island cases legally obligated to show? Do you know?
Well, they're nonprofit, so there's some level of scrutiny. But I mean, I know just in talking to them, they say that they do not receive any financing from abroad whatsoever. I mean, just slightly off topic, but just one thing I wanted to add is that the Muslim American Society was actually they didn't think it was the residents that were opposed to them. They thought it was people on a national level, the Glenn Spencers of the world, that were coming in and kind of riling up the community. And they feel that's the case in everywhere, like across the country.
Is there any evidence of that?
I mean, I think you do have some of those people show up at meetings, so I mean, I think it's possible. But clearly, the residents that I've spoken to have their own fears. I mean, they will say, "I'm afraid to have this mosque because what if my house gets bombed?" There are those feelings out there, and whether it's because of someone that's spoken to them, outside of the community, or it's something that they just feel on their own, that I'm not sure of.
And Mayor Bloomberg has been vocal in his support of a Muslim community center near the World Trade Center site, as you know. Are local politicians speaking out either way in Brooklyn or Staten Island?
Yes. I mean, I know in Brooklyn you had in Brooklyn, I don't think I ever talked to a community board woman, and she was quite adamant about thinking that, these were fine people. They wanted to worship, and they should have that right. In Staten Island, the priest himself originally said, these people are just anti-Muslim, but then he took that back and said that he was not going to support the sale because of the opposition. He actually stepped down from the church.
Samathi Reddy, reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Greater New York section. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, can Wyclef Jean run Haiti? He's running for president.